You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back to the Dungeon of Doom. I am Kyle Meinke, Lions beat writer for MLive, joined as always by Ben Raven. Ben, you're back in Detroit. I'm currently in the Superdome press box in New Orleans. 33-28 win for the Lions. You never want to besmirch a victory, but it was hard for me to feel good about the Lions coming out of that game.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks in a row. It's like uncharted territory. This whole season's uncharted territory because now we're like talking negatively after like 6 out of 7 wins and stuff like that. Another win on the road. But it definitely was like it was once again that kind of like put a microscope on all the defensive problems and all the inconsistencies that we've been talking about and kind of worrying about for the last, month or so. You know, I mean, the Saints really attacked the Lions exactly the way that everyone attacks them. You know, I mean, they went after Jerry Jacobs, they worked in play action, and they attacked those outside corners. And it is kind of concerning because I'm telling you, the Saints offense sucks. Like that's not a great offensive team, and to let them crawl back that way was a little disconcerting.
Derek Carr, not a good quarterback. you Ben, I don't know if the TV was picking it up, but every time he came out of the game, there were like violent cheers for Taysom Hill. And then every time Derek Carr went back into the game, I mean, it was just lustful boos, which really says a lot about how bad and prolonged the struggles have been for the Saints offense and for Carr in particular. Ben, he was 17 of 22 for 226 yards and a touchdown. And he had the pick on his first pass of the day. I mean, even that ball he put right on the hands of his guy, but it got dropped. And Branch, I mean, Brian Branch made a great one-handed stab. But that kind of production is way too good against a guy like Derek Carr, particularly in a game that was 21-0 early on. You knew they were going to throw the ball, and they couldn't do anything about it. And that, to me, is concerning because, like we keep talking about, there are some winnable games in this part of the schedule. New Orleans is one of them. They won this game when they weren't at their best. But you've got good teams coming up in the back end of the schedule, great teams coming up in the playoffs, and they continue for 5-6 weeks now to show they don't really have answers on defense. And I did like what I saw from Bruce Irvin. There was more disruption in the pass rush. You know, you don't want the roughing penalty that he had, but like there was disruption. That was good. Maybe it's eking up, but the what I'm concerned about, Ben, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, is the secondary. They're not good, and Cam Sutton is okay, but like the quarterbacks are just really picking on Jerry Jacobs. And I think about in particular coming out of halftime, you know, the Saints were able to draw closer in this game, and then they got the ball to start the second half, and you had them in third and long. Like you know they have to pass the ball, and Jerry Jacobs gets beat for 30 yards to the goal line, and then it's a touchdown. I think at that point it was like a one-score game. Ben, like what, I guess, where is your alarm level with the state of the secondary?
It's pretty high. It's pretty high because reinforcements aren't on the way, and it's just kind of like I was like – dumbfounded talking to myself in my post-game video, like trying to find the words to, like, because everyone's just fire AG, and I'm trying to find the words to defend it, and I'm just like, I'm trying not to bash on him too hard, but it's the same thing I've been saying for the entire season. Jerry Jacobs should not be in every snap cornerback, because that play you mentioned, Chris Olave beat him from the second that ball was snapped, and Jerry never turned around and looked at the quarterback once. Like, and it's just, man, Olave wasn't even sure he was going to play in this game, and you're just going to continue to see better receivers and better quarterbacks down the stretch. It's really concerning because, like, 21-0 after the first, 24-7 at halftime. Like, Derek Carr is going to be passing quite a lot, and it's just like Olave goes off for 5 for 119. You know, Kamara gets active in the passing game, but like the outside cornerback stuff, because it's like I I like Cam Sutton too, but it's also very clear to me that Cam Sutton belongs in Jerry Jacobs' role, yeah, and they need exactly. an upgrade at that number one spot, because it's like, man, he's a good player. He does some really good things, but like he struggles with those top tier receivers that the Lions are going to continue seeing into December and January and God willing, maybe February. So just, but yeah, it's just Jerry's in a tough spot because of the injuries, but like, man, it's hard to feel optimistic when he's rolling out there for every single snap. They're not changing the rotations. They're not changing the personnel. And it's kind of hard to even blame them in that department too.
I mean, it was, and let's remember the Lions won the game. We'll get to some good stuff too. But like this is like they're 9-3, Ben. They have a 3-game lead in the North. Yeah. There's only 5 weeks left. This team's going to win the division. I mean, barring something cataclysmic. So you're talking about hosting playoff football and your offense is number two, number three in the league. Like this is a team capable of playing with and beating anyone in the league. We've seen it before, but this defense is a liability. And so I guess as we raise our bar of expectation, that's just where my head's at watching this game. My game story, my immediate observations was a pretty negative tone. And it's just because like, this isn't last year. These aren't like the upstart Lions who are just finally getting their shit together. This is a team that's 9-3, one of the best in the league. It's capable of a lot more if they just got competent play from the defense. And they started really fast in this game. They had the pick on the first play. Again, Brian Branch, he's a baller. I love what I see from him, but they just need more guys like him. And they forced a 3-and-out there. In that 21-0 run to open this game, but then they really looked pretty bad the rest of the way. Again, a little better pass rush. I thought the linebackers played better than I was expecting with Alex Anzalone out. I thought Jalen Reeves he flashed to me, and I thought he did some really good things. Was a demon on special teams, but even on defense, he was making plays in the backfield. Not a guy you want out there every week, but he got you through a game, and there's a lot to like about that. But in terms of the coverage, it's concerning. And when you think about Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts, I just see problems for this team. I this is a very talented team that in some ways can be anyone, but I also see their ceiling being capped because this defense is just not good enough.
Yeah. No, and it is the thing. It's just like we've had to kind of adjust the way we look at these games based on what this team is. This is not a rebuilding team anymore. But yeah, man, Jalen Reeves-Maven, I don't think people truly understand how rare a game is where you have 4 special teams tackles. Like 20 sometimes leads the league in the top 10 at the end of the season. So he was flying all over the place, looked really good in coverage. The two good things I will say about the defense outside of Brian Branch was that Derek Barnes and Jack Campbell were very good today. I was very impressed. I think this was Jack Campbell's yep. best game as a pro. And yep. Barnes just kind of like with that growing role with Anzalone out, Barnes really stepped in to be the guy that they needed him to be. So that was good stuff, because while the Saints punched in a couple goal-to-go touchdowns, that's what they're about, 4-for-4 in the red zone. Like, I really think like everyone but the secondary kind of played better today, because like you said, Bruce Irvin, man, that sack was awesome. Romeo Okwara, great sack. And then the savvy vet move that I love to get Branch off of that potential fight on the sideline. Like, yo, man, 3rd and long, let's get out of here. But so definitely some good things. But just, yeah, Jacobs, Sutton, even Kirby Joseph yes. has kind of hit yes. a little slump right now. And that's yeah. concerning, because like they need.
He was very slow rotating over several times in that game. Which yeah. I know sometimes it's hard to see on the TV copy, but we have a bird's eye view here. And I'm just like I literally put my hands to my head at one point. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, he played so well last year, but he looks a step slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. It showed up on the TV a couple times, especially on the replay angles. And you're like, oh man, like Kirby, that's a day one mistake. So that's concerning for sure. But like, I think Tracy Walker has kind of returned to form. So there are some positive things, but like that secondary, man, they need Kirby to not just be a fun player, an exciting player. They need him to be one of the impactful guy on the back of that defense with like his athletic ability, his burst, his speed. And like you said, it wasn't there today. I mean, shoot. Another reminder of the Chiefs game was like all the drops by the Saints today. Juwan Johnson was playing with like steel gloves today. Outside of that interception, he had 2 other drops today. So there were some gifts. And I know Dan Campbell was feeling good about the takeaways, but like dropped pass goes into an interception. Great play by Branch, but like that should have been a first down catch. And then the fumble in the second half, The broadcast was screaming, lost snap, lost snap. It was just Derek Carr trying to do a handoff, and his pulling guard ran into him, and that's how they get the ball. So it's like there were some gifts from above today too. So even like the parts where you can feel optimistic, it's kind of like, man, that was a gift.
Yeah, there's two turnovers there. The interception by Branch, which went off a different guy. And then, of course, the like Carr hitting his guard.
What?
He scored 14 points off those plays, Ben. Like that's a gift. That's a gift. And then speaking of gifts, too, and then maybe we can move to the offense. But, like, I don't know how this game turns out if Derek Carr doesn't get injured, because he was really having his way with the secondary. And then he gets the injury and the Bruce Irvin play. And Jameis Winston, famous Jameis, goes out there for the last couple of drives or whatever. And that last drive, Ben, like there was open guys on his last three passes and he just missed them. Like who knows how this game turns out? Cause there's about 3-4 minutes left and they were, you know, they turned over the ball at that point and downs and the Lions were able to salt it away, but who knows what happens if, you know, like you had a quarterback out there who could hit someone.
Yeah. His best pass was the tipped ball, the alley-oop from Brian Branch. Like, oh my God, Jameis, what are you doing? That should have been an interception on that play too. Jacobs was perfect position. So yeah, I fully agree. You know, say what you will, Bruce Irvin, man, that's a lot of juice, because I don't know if you saw the injury report on Carr from that hit. Concussion protocol, back and shoulder injuries. So Bruce Irvin still packs a punch, man. Woof.
That's what Dan Campbell was saying after the game. General Lily McNeil, I talked to him a little bit in the locker room. He was pretty impressed as well. I think they have something there. He's not going to be like a huge difference maker, but if he's just a guy who can hit the quarterback a couple times a week, the Lions will be thrilled. Because, by the way, I looked it up. They had 0 sacks the last 2 games. So Irvin sack today was the first sack in like 3 weeks for those guys. And they hadn't had a sack from an edge rusher not named Aiden Hutchinson since the Monday night game against the Raiders more than a month ago. So they'll take anything they can get. Offensively, Ben, I thought there's a lot more to like. It was kind of a quiet game for Jared Goff, and I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way. There was no turnovers, which was great. He had the 2 touchdown passses, one to Sam Laporta, one to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then when the game was on the line late, he had 2 really nice 3rd down passes to keep that drive alive and ultimately end the game right there with up when the defense back on the field, which, you know, is an excellent strategy these days. The first to Laporta, and then obviously the winner to Josh Reynolds on 3rd and 8. I mean, just great, gritty plays from the guy. You know, it's not like he made a bunch of flashy highlight reel plays today. He's not going to be player of the week or anything. But I thought it was just like a good, like a well-handled game by Goff.
What's going on, everyone? Ben Raven with MLive's Detroit Lions beat here. Just want to point in the direction of MLive's new Dungeon of Doom Insider Tech service. Sign up now for a 14-day free trial. And then after that, it's only $4.99 a month to text with myself, to text with Kyle Monkey, and to text with Corey Woods. And not only are you going to get updates and analysis from us with some one-on-one individual conversations on the side, but you're going to be on the front line to be featured on MLive's Dungeon of Doom podcast when we come calling for mailbag questions. Once again, check out joinsubtext.com/Dungeon of Doom. 14-day free trial, $4.99 after that. Yeah, I don't blame Goff for any of this today. You know, my only frustrations with the offense are truly kind of how they took the foot off the gas on the play calling. Like the Saints were coming back, the Saints were scoring, and it was kind of felt like Ben Johnson was still calling like a game where they were up by 3 scores, and it's kind of like you gotta keep that foot on the gas. But no, that last play, that clincher, you know, for someone, there's been so much hand wringing and stuff's written about Goff being poor off script or on the move out of the pocket, man. I mean, he was moving out of the pocket, took a mean hit Josh Reynolds for that pass. And I mean, Josh Reynolds needed that too. I mean, this is the 5th straight game that guy hasn't cracked 20 yards. He had some tough looks today too. So just, yeah, Goff wasn't asked to do a lot, but like, man, yeah, that fast start, you know, just kind of a weird game for a quarterback when you're up 14-0 and like, you get such a short field on that, but man, I just really impressed with the running game, really impressed with Goff in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. And Ben, I'd like to talk about Sam Laporta, if that's
no
all right.
No kidding. Yeah.
Ben, he is so impressive and he defies everything that I've learned about playing tight end as a rookie in this league. I've been around long enough that I was there for when Eric Ebron was drafted in the first round. I was there when TJ Hockenson was drafted in the first round. So I've been through this a couple of times. I've talked to coaches, players, like for a long time about the unique challenges of playing tight end in this league as a rookie. And it's because you're not just catching passes. You're not just running like the football, involved in the running game. You're involved in all of it. You have to be in the, like, you know, the blocking scheme in the run game, the pass game. And I mean, it's a really tough ask. It's an information overload. And even like Hockenson, who's a pretty good player, was pretty like, he had won a huge game as a rookie and was like kind of like an average player otherwise. Sam Laporta is the opposite. Like, he is good almost every week. Today was this, you know, so he finished with 9 catches, 140 yards, 1 touchdown, just a monster game. He had 9 targets, by the way, so he caught every ball thrown his way. The only one that he didn't catch was there was a defensive holding on the play, so it didn't count. But like this was his breakout game. This was his best game of the year, but he's playing well almost every week. He's got 7 games with 5 catches now, which is second all time for a rookie tight end. And there's still like a month to go in the season, 5 weeks to go in the season. The trust he has in Jared Goff, you and I saw it throughout the summer. We saw it pretty fast. Like, Amon-Ra was obviously the number one target, but early on in the summer, Sam Laporta was his number two target. And we talked about it here on the podcast. We've written about it. And it's like, man, like, you don't really see a rookie too often, you know, kind of like come into one, like a top 5 offense in the league at a really difficult position to play and carve out the kind of role that he carved out in a matter of weeks, you know, in Allen Park. And the season rolled around, Bennett. He's like clockwork. He kind of reminds me of a young poor man's Amon-Ra St. Brown in that, like, there's nothing truly flashy about his game. He just does everything right. He's where he's supposed to be. His quarterback can trust him because he runs the right routes, runs them in the right pacing. And his hands are exceptional. He doesn't drop passes. He's really involved in the passing game. I would love to see his third down numbers this year because he's been tremendous. In this game in particular, he had the touchdown early on during the 21-0 run. Couple of third down catches late to extend drives. He had the 1 third down catch on 3rd and 7, I believe, on the last drive of the game to salt this away. So, I mean, I don't know what your perspective is, but for me, it's not just that he's playing really well, but like he's defying what I know what life is supposed to be like for a rookie in this league at that position.
Yeah, I've never seen something translate from rookie minicamp to OTA to training camp, to the preseason, to the regular season, to this home stretch in December football, the way it has with Sam Laporta. 5 of his 9 catches moved the chains today. 3 of those were on third down. 140 of 213 Jared Goff's passing yards for the rookie tight end. And I mean, you said it. Goff had serious praise. He said, "My connection with Sam Laporta is up there with the best I've ever had in this league." And that's saying something for a guy that's thrown to St. Brown, for a guy that's thrown to Cooper Kupp. I mean, I was listening to Tyrann Mathieu speak after the game, and he's like, "Man, I went up to that kid after the game, and I was like, that is a crafty rookie. Like, that is," he had a great quote, just like saying, "That's going to be a good player for a great time. Like, he's doing things that rookie tight ends can't do." And when you're on the same, I mean, he said it. Tyrann Mathieu, very good football player. He's like, "When you are on the same page with your quarterback like that, you're going to come away with some plays." I mean, we had him in third. Yeah, here it is right here. We had him in third and longs, and then bam. Just put that ball on that guy's body, and all of a sudden it's first down. So it's just really impressive. The yak ability has translated. His hands have translated. He's not a liability blocking. Like, he's not George Kittle moving bodies or anything, but he's a willing, able, and pretty crafty blocker for his skill set and body build. So it's just, he was the passing attack today. I mean, he really was. Like, St. Brown, 2 catches on 6 targets, very uncharacteristic day. And just, I mean, it was all Sam Laporta. I mean, we talk about, you know, the Saints are going to be passing, and that second half there, it was almost like every time Jared Goff dropped back, you knew the ball was going to 87 and they still couldn't stop it. And being at home, the halftime show, Jimmy Johnson, all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere, he's like, "Man, I know CJ Stroud's a lock for rookie of the year, but Sam Laporta," and then that was all he said and it just went back to the game. So it is clearly like reaching the masses, because I mean, he's truly, truly impressive. And it's like, man, he just keeps getting better.
I'm like compelled to dap up Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson too for what's happening, because even Brad Holmes, going back to last year, You know, they had TJ Hockenson, who was a good player. He went to the Pro Bowl last year. The Lions calculated at the deadline. I think, like we think that we could deal Hockenson, even inside the division. We don't care. We think we're going to be a better team. We'll be just fine without him. We have the personnel with Amon-Ra blowing up and so forth to get by without this guy, which they did. They scored more points per game, like three more points per game down the stretch last year. They went 8-2 without Hockenson. And that's for a lot of reasons outside of TJ. Yeah. I'm not like saying he's like some cancer or whatever, but clearly he wasn't as important to that team as other people thought he was. The Lions were fine without him. And by dealing him, they got draft assets in return, didn't have to pay TJ Hockenson, who just got what, like a $67 million contract, whatever it was. And then you draft a guy for nickels on the dollar in Sam Laporta, who now has better numbers than Hockenson as a rookie. Like, he's doing it as a rookie versus Hockenson, you know, being a Pro Bowl guy. They had a vision for that whole thing. And I think it's also like fair to point out, Ben, the pick they used to draft Laporta is a pick they picked up in the second round and the trade back in the first round. So, yeah, they could have taken Bijan or Jalen Carter. I still would love to have seen Jalen Carter here.
Yeah.
But by trading back, you got Jahmyr Gibbs. Hey, pretty good player.
No doubt.
And you got Sam Laporta. Hey, like one of the best tight ends in the league. And these two guys are going to be on rookie contracts for 5 years. They're going to form the backbone of this offense, really versatile pieces. And then you have guys like Dan Campbell, former NFL tight end, guys like Ben Johnson, who came up as a tight ends coach, actually coached Hockenson. They really coached Hockenson through his breakout in Detroit. Of course, these guys know like how tight ends work and function and what to look for and how to scheme them up. And that's something I think about, like with this, not just the skill development of Laporta, but like how many times have we seen that guy wide open? And it's not because they just forget about this guy who's carving up the league. It's because of scheme. And I think about, I think it was the Atlanta game where Laporta's all alone for like a 50-yard touchdown or whatever it was. Like, that's happened a couple times this year. And in this game, he had a 48-yard catch where there was nobody around him, even though he's going out for 130 yards. And it was schemed up so great because they were using two running backs all day with Montgomery in the backfield, Gibbs split out, a lot of like jet motion and so forth, and it mixed up the defense. And I feel like that was really intentional because Laporta was wide open.
Yeah, and I mean that was one of those things that reinforced the thinking that, all right, Laporta, this is like a tight end. You talk about Ben Johnson, you talk about Dan Campbell, Steve Heiden, modern era, decade plus playing tight end in this league, Tanner Engstrom, the passing game coordinator, tight ends coach. Like, there's such a, and that was a beautiful play design. You just brought that back to my memory, that 48 yarder where he's wide open, because like Laporta and Josh Reynolds were, I'm using my hands, not a visual medium. Laporta and Josh Reynolds were running kind of in tandem down the seam, and Reynolds, it wasn't a pick because he was just running his route, but Reynolds bumped two guys out of the way kind of just by running his route. Laporta breaks at the right second, and that's the stuff that Tyrann Mathieu's talking about, that kid's route tree, his craftiness, his slipperiness. And I mean, and just the thing that we talk about so much is the timing. There are so many timing passes in this offense. Laporta is already that on that St. Brown level, or at least near it, where Goff is throwing it before he's made his turn. Goff is throwing it before he's at the point where he needs to be, and that is, you cannot understate how important that level of trust is, especially with a guy that good, that slippery. He's a breaking tackle machine too. That play, that was the, I think it was that 3rd-and-2. They just gave him a little pass in the flat. He broke 3 tackles, and then like it took 10 Saints to take him down short of the sticks for his like least productive catch of the game. It's just I mean, I knew he was going to be good, but he's in the top 5 or 6 conversation already in my mind as a tight end in this league. And that's wild.
Yeah. Just no notes. Yeah.
Wild.
Last point I want to make, Ben, and then maybe we can wrap this up. It was pretty like clear their intention offensively coming into this game is that they wanted to reestablish, I guess, the run, but more specifically, they wanted to give the offensive line a chance to reassert itself. The Packers game was pretty bad. I mean, that's a great group, one of the best in the league, the offensive line. The Packers game was not good for them. Goff was hit, I think, 12 times in that game, sacked a bunch. this game, they came out and they had 7 plays on their first series, Ben, and 6 were runs. 5 were runs by David Montgomery, and then there was a 36-yarder by Gibbs in there too. Seemed pretty intentional. They wanted to like just get the offensive line going. Jonah Jackson was back at left guard. It was kind of their chance to get back to full health and just get their mojo back. And I thought they were excellent for a while. I do have concerns with the Frank Ragnow injury. Yeah. You know, he went down with a knee injury. It looked pretty bad in person. He was on the ground for a real long time. He's a tough guy. Like he's playing he's played through a fractured throat. Like this guy is playing with an inoperable toe injury. Like this guy is tough as nails. For him to lay in the turf for like what felt like 5 minutes, you know, it's bad. And then he stood up. And he needed the help of 2 people just to get him to gingerly walk off the turf. I don't know if the TV was showing it or not, but it was like a 2-minute walk to the sideline. It was intense. Immediately gets on the cart and is carted back to the locker room. The Lions thought it was going to be a serious injury initially. Dan Campbell didn't say what that injury was, but it sounded like their initial expectation was that it was serious. Campbell then said that after further evaluation after the game, they're not as scared. There's some optimism around the injury, but there's no timetables. We don't even know the body part. I mean, we know it's a knee, but like anything more specific than that. And with only 5 weeks left in the season, you know, 4 of those games are going to be tough. The Broncos are red hot. There's 2 games against the Vikings. There's the Cowboys. Not having a guy like Frank Ragnow for that stretch run is going to hurt. You do have the 3-game cushion, which is nice, but the playoffs are lurking in 6 weeks or 7 if you get the bye, which I don't think they will. So I do have my eye on that, Ben, and I wanted just to address that real quickly because you love a win. And I know that you know we were a little critical coming out of it, and I think that's good, but I do have genuine concern about losing a guy like Ragnow. Like they have a good backup in Graham Glasgow. He played really well in this game. Had a great block on the JMO reverse.
And
we love Graham. but the problem is with no Vitae at guard, you're losing Graham and Vitae at guard. And so you got to play Soares Dahl, who I have to watch the film on this one. I didn't watch closely enough to see how he did, but he was pretty bad against the Bears and he was bad enough against the Packers to get benched. So that's kind of where my concern is with the offense right now.
Yeah, I will just say thank God for Graham Glasgow being able to play center. I mean, but losing Frank, I mean, on 9 toes, on 9.5 toes, whatever you want to say, he's one of the 3 best centers in the league. And I mean, we talk about the matchups of the corners. I mean, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, if you face the Eagles in the playoffs, going into that without Frank Ragnow is a terrifying thought. So that's, yeah, it sounded cautiously optimistic is how I would label Campbell after the game. It sounds like there is a silver like lining of chance there, but yeah, that's tough. And my take on Soares Dahl is just like, it's just not ready for this. Like he's just not ready for this. He's a little slow out of his stance. He's just, you can see him on the offensive line. And that's like, when you're sticking out on the offensive line, it's not a good thing. Like he might be a guy someday down the line, but like we've said it a million times, it's a 5th round pick out of William and Mary. Like he's played 3 positions already. He's getting asked to do a lot, but like in the grand scheme, a pretty solid day for the line. 4 quarterback hits. And the only sack allowed was just a great pass rush move on Penei Sewell. You don't see too many of those happen too much, but like, yeah, it's that's the dark cloud right now. You get Jonah Jackson back and there goes Frank Ragnow. The story of the last 3 years, man, this offensive line, just it's the foundation, it's the cornerstone, and it's what this team wants to be about. But man, they just cannot keep that group together.
Lions win 33-28 against the New Orleans Saints. Wasn't always pretty, but they do have now a 3-game lead in the division heading into next week's game in Chicago. Ben, you're going to be back on the road with me. We'll have to put away some food. I'm not going to be able to eat for a week after this trip. I had, like, Ben, have you had shrimp and grits?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That I had 3 out of 4 nights in Mobile. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've had that here too. Yeah. It's different. Like, I've had shrimp and grits. I'm like, oh, it's fine. I had shrimp and grits last night and it changed my life.
That's awesome. Oh,
it was a tough walk to the stadium this morning. Dude, I would never survive New Orleans. I'm telling you that right now. And judging from what I saw on Bourbon Street last night, I think there's a lot of other folks in that same boat.
Yeah, Lions fans going ham tonight down there. My goodness. Search Twitter, Lions fans right now. Oof.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff, Ben. We'll be back with a mailbag midweek this week. Make sure you get those questions in via the subtext. The promotions are all over mlive.com/Lions. Click on any story. We have Richiles in there. You can text us, getting those questions for the mailbag. It's a pretty cool setup. We'll be back with the mailbag, and then we'll be in Chicago next week.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
For the title push. That's so weird. But
so weird. We're there. Yeah. 10 wins on the horizon.